The first reading is from Psalm 34, verse 1 to 10. I will always thank the Lord. I will never stop praising him. I will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us praise him together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. The oppressed look to him and are glad. They will never be disappointed. The helpless call to him and he answers. He saves them from all their troubles. His angel guards those who honour the Lord and rescues them from danger. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety with him. Honour the Lord, all his people, those who obey him have all they need. Even lions go hungry for lack of food, but those who obey the Lord lack nothing good.
And the New Testament reading is from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Are any of you in trouble? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you ill? You should send for the church elders, who will pray for them and rub olive oil on them in the name of the Lord. This prayer made in faith will heal the sick. The Lord will restore them to health, and the sins they have committed will be forgiven. So then, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. The prayer of a good person has a powerful effect. Elijah was the same kind of person as we are. He prayed earnestly that there would be no rain, and no rain fell on the land for 3.5 years. Once again he prayed, and the sky poured out its rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the Bible, for the word, for the truth that it contains. We pray you'd open up our hearts and our minds to hear afresh from you this morning all that you would say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a teenager, well, I think I was a teenager, there was a song that was sung at church, and I think it was sung at church. Carita and I were having an argument about this last night. But it wasn't really sung by me, because I'm not really much of a singer anyway. But the song is called Prayer is Like a Telephone. Does anyone know it? Some of you are nodding. Sheena, I'm not making it up, am I? Good, good. It was around when I was younger. It has actions, and you're supposed to kind of sing the song and miss out words as you go. And all of that. And I'm not really into action songs, as you'll probably know. So I didn't really sing the song. But the words are these. They're going to come up on the screen. Prayer is like a telephone for us to talk to Jesus. Prayer is like a telephone for us to talk to God. Prayer is like a telephone for us to talk to Jesus. Pick it up and use it every day. And then the next bit. You can shout out loud. You can whisper something. You can use no words at all. For he always hears your call. And the point of the song is to encourage children to pray. For children to see prayer as a natural part of their lives. Like talking to friends or family. Talking to Jesus should be normal. Now the words and the tune, listen to it on YouTube, it is there. They might be a little bit twee, but I think there's a lot in their meaning. And probably there are a good number of us adults here today who could do with a reminder that prayer is and should be a natural part of our everyday lives. And certainly that message is there for us in both of our readings this morning. Both the readings pick up on the need for prayer to be a natural and everyday part of our lives. In Psalm 34, the psalmist writes, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And in James 5 we read, are any of you in trouble? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. You see, in every circumstance, whatever is happening in our lives, good or bad, we should be able to talk to God about it. And we need to know that God will hear us. In the letter from James, we are encouraged to pray in faith. And as we start this week of prayer as a church, this morning I want to look at this passage from James and unpack what praying in faith might mean for us as individuals and as a church. Now, I love the letter from James. It's one of my favourite books in the Bible. You see, there's no messing around with James. There's no preamble, no gentle leading the reader into a story before hitting him with a message. From the very start, James gets on with it and brings out the message to the church that he has to share. He devotes just one verse, just 22 words, to his introduction. And he wastes no words at all on a final greeting of any kind. He's straight into it. It is important to understand that this letter is not to any one church group, but rather it is a message to the whole church, God's people everywhere. It may even be that this letter isn't really a letter. It's actually a collection of sermons by James that has been written down so that all could benefit from his teaching. Maybe he's an early day Spurgeon or something like that. Whatever the case, it was written as clear instructions to the church as to how to behave and how to live as the people of God, and no messing around. The central themes to the letter are patience and prayer, but James also gives lots of instruction about faith and actions, marking out the life of the believer. James starts and finishes his letter with the same central theme running through it. In the same way that a good essay starts by telling the reader what it will say and finishes by reminding the reader what it has said. We see in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 11, that James highlights the need for patience and for prayer. And then at the end of his letter, chapter 5, verses 7 to 20, which includes the section that we've read this morning, we read again that James reminds us the message of patience and of prayer. If we look closely at the passage this morning, we will see that James uses language and stories that would have been familiar to his readers, and their meaning and implications would have been understood. Look again at verse 16 if you've got your Bibles open. He says, "So then confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed." Where have we heard those words before? Didn't Jesus tell a paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5 that his sins were forgiven? And he told the man to get up and walk. Jesus was accused of blasphemy, as only God could forgive sins. But Jesus was making the point that part of the healing process is to be spiritually healed first. We need to be put right with God. And James is saying the same thing here. Before we can be physically healed, we must first be spiritually healed. And so James is highlighting the need that prayer is about being put right with God. It is about laying before him our struggles and our failures. It is about being open with him and allowing him to put things right in our lives. Before we can hope to minister to others, we must first be right with God ourselves. And then James also uses the story of Elijah the prophet to remind the readers that in prayer, anything is possible. James says that Elijah prayed for a drought and the land was dry for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed for rain, and rain is what he got, with a mighty storm. If you want to read the story for yourself, look at 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18. James starts this account of the story of Elijah with the words, The prayer of a good person has a powerful effect. He is saying that in prayer, anything is possible. Just like Elijah was able to cause a drought just through his prayers to God. If we are right with God, that is, if our sins are forgiven, then the prayers of the good person are powerful. There is no limit to what God can and will do through us if we pray to him and if we are sincere in our desire to be in a relationship with him. But James is also making another point here, an important point for each one of us. He is making the point that Elijah was a normal bloke. Look at verse 17. It says Elijah was the same kind of person as we are. And when he prayed, God heard his prayer. James is reminding us that prayer isn't reserved for the super spiritual or for the select few. Prayer is not something only to be done by a priest, or dare I say it, by the ministers. Prayer is for us all, for the normal, the ordinary, every single one of us. And it is to be an everyday part of our lives. Each one of us has the capacity and the need to pray. But James wants more. James wants us to pray in faith. So what does that mean? Well, firstly, I think it means praying as if we mean it. We must be careful that we do not fall into the trap of praying just for the sake of praying. Praying because it's the right thing to do. Praying because that's what is expected, or it's what people are doing around us. It can be very easy to feel that we need to pray, but to do so without any conviction. We just trot something out because we know that we should be doing it. Or we can't cope, maybe, with the silence at a prayer meeting, so we have to fill that silence. We're sincere in our desire to pray, but our prayers maybe lack that sense of meaning and desire. We've just heard from Dorcas earlier this morning, sharing her story about how God has answered her prayers. And I am sure that when Dorcas prayed, she meant it. When she was calling out to God for him to find a solution to her problems, she meant every word she spoke. And God listened. You know, God hears our prayers. He wants to respond to our needs as individuals and as his church. But he wants us to mean what we say. Secondly, praying in faith, I think it means praying as if we expect God to hear us. How often when we pray do we expect God to hear us? I sometimes wonder what people who are unchurched think about our praying. When they watch us talking or mumbling to ourselves, or when they see us maybe as a church in prayer together, I wonder what they think is happening. I wonder if they think we're a little bit silly talking to ourselves like that. But you see, it's very hard to imagine something if you don't believe it. To watch people pray if you don't believe in God is like watching somebody talking to themselves. Maybe it feels a little bit weird to watch, like maybe you're seeing something that you shouldn't really be seeing. And I wonder what we think of ourselves when we pray. Are we a little embarrassed about praying? Are we a little reserved in our desire to call out to God in case we look a little bit silly to the people around us? When we pray, do we truly expect God to hear us? If we don't, then of course we're going to hold back in our prayers, and they will feel silly and unnatural. It will feel strange praying to God. If we as his children do not feel confident in our prayers, then what hope do we have of showing others that our God is dependable and we can call on him whenever we need and that we can be certain that he will be there for us? So praying in faith means praying as if we mean it. It means praying as if we expect God to hear us. And it means praying as if we want God to do something. Is there an urgency to our prayers that reflects our desire to see God at work? Are we praying as if we want God to do something? When the psalmist prayed to God, he was in need. He called out to God for protection, for help, for guidance. And he was wanting God to do something. God did not let him down. Do we pray as the psalmist did, in confidence that the Lord will act, that he will do something? In our history as a church, we have prayed for God to work in the life of this place. And we have seen amazing things over the years. The church building we are in here now is because of the faithful prayers of 50 or so members well over 100 years ago, calling out to God to act and give them a place to worship. 50 or so members built this building. The refurbishment of the church came about because as a church we prayed in faith and in confidence that God would act. He did not disappoint. And now again, as we seek to go Christ's way and make disciples, God has answered our prayers for a community to minister to. And it's maybe taken longer than we thought, but God is giving us a community on our doorstep to work amongst. You see, when we can pray in faith, God acts. If we believe that we can talk to God, if we believe that God always hears our call, then as we go forward together as a church, in our search for a new senior minister, in our desire to make God known to our city, and in particular to the new homes around us, we must keep praying in faith, meaning what we pray, expecting God to hear us and wanting God to do something amazing. Let's pray. Father God, it's good to know that we can call out to you in prayer and that you listen to each one of us. It's good to know that you're there for us, that you desire the best for us. You want us to call out to you, to bring to you our concerns, our joys, our hopes, our fears. Because as we call out to you, you can respond to us. Father God, help us to be men and women of faith, people that can pray in faith, expecting to hear from you and wanting you to do amazing things in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.